Tigers win. They're only a game and a half back of a playoff spot. Team of destiny.
Wow.
John, it doesn't have to make sense. Like, just surrender to the absurdity of it all. The Tigers didn't get a good start from Reese Olson. They got down 4-0 after a grand slam. The Twins had a lead.
Momentum was not in their favor.
You're going, they're going to lose and the Twins are going to win and this whole thing's going to unravel. Not this team. Team of destiny. The Tigers come back, and in that sixth inning where we just played that highlight, A.J. Hinch used Andy Ibañez as a pinch hitter against the lefty. Wenzel Perez as a pinch hitter. Took Kerry Carpenter out of the game. What's he thinking?
He's a magician.
He's pushing all the right buttons. Then they go to the bullpen. It's Bo Brisky, who punches out with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and then gets the double play ball to get out of the jam.
So you're the Moneyball guy on the show. All right, the guy that looks at all the numbers, dives a little bit deeper, and looks for all of the analytics.
Yeah.
How much of that was just, well, you got excited about that. How much of that is just a gamble? How much of it is backed up by numbers?
Well, the Ibañez stuff is like pretty ironclad at this point. The guy rakes against left-handed pitching, and AJ uses him really well in those spots. The Carpenter-Perez thing.
That's more the one.
Yeah, I mean,
Carpenter's been good.
I know, but again, that's the lefty-lefty thing that AJ really does cling to. They want to put these guys in positions to succeed.
Mm. The issue that I was running into is always, you take him out in the sixth, there's going to be another at-bat, and now you've burned that one.
You have to make your decision. You're going to make the play right here. You're going to make the push right now. And they tie it up, and then Vierling gives them the lead, and then they hang on to the lead with this hodgepodge of a bullpen.
So last night, I was doing the same thing you were, right? Had the multiple screens going and was paying more attention after the Tigers made the comeback. And then I'm thinking to myself, boy, did they do this too quickly? Is there a chance that in the seventh, the eighth, the bottom of the ninth? Like, I was still doubting it at that point. Like, this can't be real. And now you wake up this morning, and if you didn't see anything last night, just exactly what Jim described, the Tigers were down 4-0, and the Twins were up 3-0. And then in a matter of a half an hour, in two different cities, the tables turn in favor of the Tigers.
It's a night that goes a long way when you look at the standings.
One and a half.
And that might have been the biggest win the Tigers have had in damn near 10 years, given what was at stake. The Tigers haven't made the playoffs since 2014. Like, that's a gritty, gutty comeback win in a race for a playoff spot in September. That's maybe the biggest win the Tigers have had in nearly 10 years. And if the question is this happening? Are you believing this team of destiny? The Tigers, since Javi Baez got injured, are 16-7. I'm sure that's a pure coincidence. But they're 16-7. They're red hot. The Twins, in the same span, are leaking oil. They're in a tailspin. Whatever analogy you want to use, the Twins in that span are 8-15. The Tigers have made up 8 games since August 23rd. It's happening right in front of our very eyes. The Twins are going to blow this, and the Tigers are catching lightning in a bottle, and they're going to capitalize at the right time to make the postseason. As we wake up today, I feel like we have a team that will make the playoffs. To answer my own question, yes, it's happening. This team's going to make the playoffs.
I think it's happening. I did not think it was happening yesterday. I thought they were going to get right there and be within a game or two, probably 2 games heading into the last weekend, where it could possibly happen, but realistically, no. And the tiebreaker was playing a factor in this. I think it's happening now. I think after last night was magical. If people were not paying attention to what was going on, you missed out. They were down 5-1, and it was 3-0 Cleveland. And like John said, it just turned. And to not buy into something's going on here, that typically does not happen. Cleveland had the bases loaded in the seventh inning, I think it was, and they got 2 runs, and you're like, man. And the Tigers had chipped away. It was 4-0, then 4-1, and then the Royals added the run, and you're just kind of like, it's not going to happen. And I thought the Royals' offense was going to cause the Tigers problems in the series to where the Tigers wouldn't win the series. Now I think they're going to win the series, and it was going to require winning every series the rest of the way to do this. I think they're doing it. This is crazy.
So, okay, let's take it one step further. How much do they do it by? I know it only needs to be one game, but is it by that thin of a margin?
11 to go.
With 11 to go, right? And you're down a game and a half, and you're basically down 2.5 because the tiebreaker goes to the Twins.
It's basically two. It's a half game. And right, if you're tied, okay. Yeah. So, but either way, you're down effectively 2 to the Twins, but we just got done telling you the Twins are struggling. And you get 3 in a row against the White Sox to close the season. If you're within a game, two games
that's
going to the final series.
Only 3 of the 11.
You know, too.
Scooble's going to pitch twice in the next 11 games. Like things
those
are really
have been both losses.
Why are you doing this, John?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Would you get on board?
I think they could. Yes.
Would you just get on board? Would you just do it? Even if you only half believe it, John?
I want them to. I really want them to. I just don't know. I don't know if I believe in destiny.
So the Twins still have 3 more at the Guardians. Who knows what last night's loss did to them psychologically? Because they did get Correa and Buxton are back in the lineup now. And they let that game just get away from them. You know, if the Tigers sweep the Royals, they're only 2 back of the Royals. Now, we have to mention the Mariners are in play here. They're even in the loss column with the Tigers. They're 1 win behind, so they're half game.
It's because they didn't play last night, yes.
They host the Yankees for 3, so go Yankees, everybody, right?
Yeah, 27 rings and all that stuff.
Sure. I was sitting there last night, and it's typical, you know, in September, we're watching Monday Night Football, and we had it on, and my boys were in a fantasy clash last night. And I kept turning on the baseball, and I actually could get the Twins and Guardians game, so I was even flipping to that. Monday Night Football was on my back burner last night.
Their center stage. Our baseball team is 1.5 games back with 11 to go. Tigers win. 1 game closer to the playoffs. Texter says, if you look at the schedules, Minnesota has quite the gauntlet to go through. It's all setting up for Detroit. Ticket Texter says, what's happening is baseball down to its purest form. Sit back and enjoy. In a lot of ways, this is payback for game 163 back in 2009, where the Twins got in over the Tigers. This is like, hey, 15 years later, objects in your rearview mirror, they're closer than they appear. Here come the Detroit Tigers. Texter says, we need to come up with a nickname for this bullpen. What about Motor Medics? I don't love Motor Medics, but we can put our crack staff on it. And by our crack staff, I mean all of you on the ticket text, 248-539-9797. Texter says, I'm getting the feeling that this team could be the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals. Came back from a larger deficit, not only to get the wild card, but to win the World Series.
I mean, there are some examples of teams coming back from the brink. I mean, look at the Phillies. Fire a manager. Obviously, that's not the case here.
Right.
But they come back from the brink and win a World Series. I'm still not sold on the whole team of destiny and that they actually are going to. Did they possibly dig themselves too deep a hole to come out of it?
John, Twins, 8.
I know.
And 15 in the last 23. Tigers, 16 and 7.
I want it.
Fast charging. Oh, wrong. Sorry, Dan. What makes that so much worse is it's 3 of them. It couldn't have just been 1. No, I wanted to play because that's the bit. This is the team of destiny, and I think you just have to accept it. A ticket texter brings up a great point. Says, morning, gentlemen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when Jim came on board, didn't he rip this team? He had 0 faith, and now he's giving John a hard time? Today, he's the one telling John to get on board?
Yeah.
Have a great day, signed Denise.
And I want to talk about that. I'm fascinated that John's the least optimistic about this. And John's usually the more positive person around these parts. Why?
I'm just and a little bit more reserved.
Baseball's your second favorite sport.
Yeah. And trust me, I want it. I just, there's so many things that I question. And maybe I just need to stop thinking logically. At some point, if you are going with these group effort days, now I know that those are somewhat lessened by the return of Olsen, by the return of Mize. Now you've got Scooble, Montero. But you go back to the last Scooble starts, and we think, hey, if you just win this game with Casey Mize against Kansas City, you can sweep the series because Tarek Skubal's taken the mound. The last two times, that hasn't been the case.
The thing is, see, you said they're defying logic. It's right. Not common sense.
It's not.
But these things happen in sports sometimes.
I know.
And I feel like you're not enjoying it.
Oh,
and
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying every bit of it.
You just won't let yourself get caught up in it, though. You are the more reserved of the two of us. Listen, I was documented very, very upset with this baseball team.
Yeah.
I've given up all of that because it's absurd. Because of what Tom said. Because there is no logic to this.
But guys, see, the thing is, and when we did the fake contending thing 2.5 weeks ago, and they are real contending now, right?
Yes.
We did real.
Yes.
I had been watching them play for the couple weeks before that. And you could see this coming together. The way they've been playing since they got all these young guys up there, like Trey Sweeney makes no sense. He was a throw-in in that trade. Okay? He's added better defense at shortstop, has had some really timely hits. Parker Meadows and the record that this team has with him in the lineup, you know, it is reminding me of NC State in 83. And it made no sense, guys. That was the one time in sports where I literally like would look back and say, this makes no sense.
So I guess here's part of where like all of these young guys have performed. And I think it's awesome. It's been fun. But they've been able to do it in large part when there wasn't a lot of pressure. Now they have applied the pressure to themselves because they've been playing damn good baseball. Can they continue that for 11 games, or do they buckle under the pressure?
Well, last night, the reason I am now thinking this is actually going to happen because I thought the Royals would probably win 2 out of 3. I thought their offense has given us fits. They actually lit up Scooble earlier in the year. Bobby Witt hits a grand slam, the guy that we can't have because the 1 year we didn't draft high enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it just was fitting the script. And then all of a sudden it changed with Colt Keith's home run. And it's just, this is a... Like, they put the runs up when they had to. You know, it's like they win the 1-0 game, which made no sense on where they almost, I think, made history with a perfect game with a bullpen start.
Right, with a group effort day.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're doing what they need to do in each game. It's crazy.
So when we had AJ on, I think, a month ago, we asked if there was a turning point. Because to Tom's point, things were starting to turn. And we had brought up the Williamsport game, and he kind of agreed, didn't want to pin it down to any one thing. He brought up Williamsport unprompted when we had him on last week. So it does feel like you can trace it all the way back to when it was the call-up of Jace Young and a bunch of these young guys, and call them kids, young baseball players who don't know what they don't know, who can just go out there and play free, play loose. You talked about pressure. For as much as you and I and everybody wants them to change a rotation this way and make this call-up and do... AJ, this is very intentional. He's trying to limit the amount of pressure on these young guys. And in addition to the moves he made last night in the sixth inning, the moves he's made in the bullpen during this run, there's something about the psyche of a clubhouse that he should also get credit for in this,
too. Yeah, but when we talked to Tarek Skubal, he was like, yeah, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, they see it. They don't need to hear it from the manager. He can try and tamp down the excitement and the pressure all he wants. But what's going on in the mind of these young players?
Ticket Texter says, crazy to think Bly Madris is going to get a World Series ring.
Or who was the other one? Was it Bucky or Bubba or
Buddy Kennedy?
Buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be most happy for Sammons. He pitched some very important innings when they were starting to get back to this in mid-August.
Yeah.
Stan in Shelby Township. Stan, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. Jim, you've been nice enough. We've chatted on X and stuff, too, that, you know, my whole thing is I love September baseball. After that, you just got to get lucky. But shortly after the trading deadline, I brought up that I called you up and I said, gee, you know, these guys could win 2 out of 3 and that we could get this great September baseball, and it could be reminiscent of the 22 Lions. And I also brought up, I said, you know, every year AJ's been here, he's had a better second half winning record than, the first half. And you know, you rightfully so well said, let's see what happens. Well, we're here, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm curious, you know, with your wanted two strikes against Scott Harris, do you think his trade for Flaherty, for Sweeney, or the premonition he had to sign Colt Keith early, does that take away any of those two strikes?
I think the Flaherty trade was a necessary trade, and I think Sweeney was a really nice pickup. Lorenzo's supposed to be the bigger pickup. He's still in the minors.
Oh, you bet.
And as far as the two strikes go, I think if they make the playoffs, we do a classic Miguel Cabrera appeal down to first. Was it a strike or was it a ball? And upon further review, he would not be in an 0-2 count. Scott Harris would be in a 1-1 count. Got to make the playoffs. Because if they miss by two or three, then I can do the whole, well, you should have signed Chapman. That would have been worth four or five wins. And
if I was right, then
I'm smarmy. And I don't think that's what anybody wants.
So you're not willing, even at this point, that they've been able to fight back into the team of destiny and the fact that they're this close to take back a strike?
Well, if they miss the playoffs, they're not the team of destiny. And they should have added the bat that I yelled about back in February.
Oh,
and I was proven right. I mean,
oh, man. You're painful. You're painful.
Is that unfair? Let me know if that's unfair.